Good morning. We are a blessed people. And sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we need to stop and really take account of our blessings. I know we feel the pressure of bills. We feel that middle class squeeze. We feel the responsibilities to our children's college educations and to our own retirement. If we thought about that all day long, we'd lose our minds. But if we just raise our head for a moment from our own problems and take just a quick glance at the world, we will realize how blessed we are. And you particularly, us, I tell you, when people ask me what's it like to pastor at Pilgrim United Church of Christ in Carlsbad by the sea, I say I'm having more fun than the law allows. And I love to tweet and Facebook pictures of the ocean sunsets and the long stretches of unpopulated beach that are just waiting there for any of us to use. And every day I say, how blessed are we simply to be here in such a beautiful and wonderful environment. And part of that is because of the rent that we pay. It's not cheap living in Southern California. You can buy a whole house for $20,000 in Detroit, Michigan. If you want to live in Detroit, Michigan. But I say all this to say, let us not lose perspective. We are truly and bountifully blessed. We live in the richest state of the richest nation that human history has ever known. Let us not forget. Paul's letter to the Corinthians was to remind them of how rich they were. And Paul was not beneath embarrassing people. And that's exactly what he was doing by comparing the Corinthians to the Macedonians. Because the Macedonians were poor. They were oppressed. They were not rich like the port city of Corinth. And he was saying to them in this letter, you know those Macedonians? They gave beyond their means. I love that phrase. Their generosity of wealth and their extreme poverty combined to issue in the joy of this great abundant giving. And he's saying to them, now you're not going to let them outdo you, are you? And it's interesting that the same facts are still true. Recent studies have shown that the working class give a larger percentage of their income to charity than the upper middle and upper classes. Now, we certainly know that the gross donations and giving of the upper classes far outstrips it, but as a percentage of their own resources, the working class and the poor give more. Generosity has always been a foundation of Christian faith. Giving. That's what Jesus taught us. If someone asks you, give. They ask you for your coat, give them your cloak also. They ask you to go 1 mile, give them 2 miles. If they ask to borrow, give, not expecting it to be returned. Generosity is one of the fundamental teachings of our faith. And so, as blessed as we are, we ought to also understand the opportunities that we have to be a blessing to others. Because we are not here just to soak up the sun and enjoy our riches. We are here to be a blessing to others. Oh, yes, we get something out of the deal. Don't misunderstand, or we wouldn't be here at all. Just our gathering each Sunday is a blessing. Amen? It's a joy to see one another's faces, to see our friends and family, to see and to hear the victories that have been won in the week through our prayers and joys and concerns, and to share those burdens with one another, to be inspired by the message, to be inspired by the music, to be inspired by the prayers, to set our lives on track. I like to say that church is the only place of voluntary accountability in our lives. Church is the place where we come to put our lives under the microscope, to be examined by our faith, and to be held accountable for what God calls us to do. And part of what God calls us to do is to learn and understand the joy of giving. And we do give. Pilgrim is an extraordinarily generous church, I tell you. Even for our size, we give extraordinarily to our community and to the world. Just by being here, we are a blessing to others. One of the things that most of our members don't see, but is a very important dimension of our being the church in this community, is the way that we offer our space and our building for the use of others. Others that have, you know, no membership here, who make no direct contribution necessarily, but we open our building in what we call our ministry of space. And I don't know what's going on in the world around us, but the ministry of space has been under increased demand like never before. Just in the last 3 months, our ministry of space has doubled in its occupation. So we went from having about 6 or 7 12-step groups to now 12 12-step groups. So we host on today a gay men's AA meeting. We host a Naranon meeting for the families of those who have members who are addicted to narcotics. We are going to start hosting at the same time on Sunday evenings a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. So families can come together. One go to one room, one go to the other room. We host 2 women's AA meetings, so large that they've moved out of Pilgrim Hall and into our sanctuary. We host 2 Sex Addicts Anonymous meetings. We host 1 Essanon meeting for the families of those who are addicted to pornography and sex and so forth. We host these meetings because we understand that each of them meets the heart, the deep needs of those who attend, and their gratitude could not be greater. These meetings save lives. And they've come to us recently because the places where they've met are now unavailable. And they want to stay in this community to serve people in this community. So they heard about Pilgrim. And they heard that Pilgrim was a generous place. And maybe, just maybe, they'll open their doors to us. And we do, at every opportunity, we make whatever possible space available. We do so, even at our own convenience. Sometimes we try to schedule a committee meeting, and we can't find a place to meet in our own building. That's how generous we are. But I believe that we will be blessed in doing so. But we're not only a host to 12-step groups, as many of us will enjoy tamales on the patio this afternoon, possibly, if they're providing them to us, but we're incubating a tamale business so that people who otherwise would only work as day laborers or domestic workers have an opportunity for their own independent business and their own independence financially. We host meetings of the community. Fraternity House meets here. And not only ongoing meetings, but anytime there's a need for a community meeting, and of course the North County AIDS Vigil, National AIDS Vigil, will be held here. And then you send your staff, Anna and myself, out into the community to represent you and to do that work which we are committed to. I serve on the board of the ACLU for San Diego and Imperial Counties, and you know about our good work in immigration and in so many areas of civil and human rights. I just returned this past week from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, whose meetings are held twice a year in Washington, D.C. And you know, I was sitting on that plane and making connections and missing connections and traveling all day, and my back's hurting from sitting in the chair. And I say, why am I going to Washington, D.C.? It is to build and maintain a strong organization that will remind everyone, but especially women, who have faced or are facing the choice of terminating a pregnancy, that a faith community, for we are a coalition of Jewish, Muslim, Protestant, and Catholic organizations, that a faith community stands with them, prays with them in whatever decision they make. And to remind them that women are endowed by their God with the moral agency to make the decisions that are best for them and their lives. And those are decisions made in faith, and those are decisions made with their God by their side. And so for that work, and of course, we are so much a part of the LGBT civil rights movement that we are to be proud of the work that we do. This is the civil rights movement of our generation. And the entire San Diego County, you can go anywhere and mention Pilgrim Church, and they will know where we stand, and that we stand for the full human rights of every person, whether they be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. All the progressive communities look to Pilgrim because they know who we are and what we stand for, and that we represent that faith dimension that is so often seen as hostile to progressive causes in the world. But we stand up and say the God that we serve and the Jesus that we follow calls us to stand with you in this cause for righteousness and for justice. We are a church that raises up youth that will be the leaders of the future. When I look at our youth and I look at our children, I rest comfortably that when we all retire, that they will carry on, and that there will be this expression of this unique faith in this place. But they're too young to do that right now. They're still in the gimme, gimme, gimme phase, and we give generously to them. But I say to you, give as strongly as you can right now. Part of this is just a fireside check, because I want to say, I see the mainline Protestant church, of which we are a part, going through some very serious changes over the next 3 to 4 decades. Our churches will not be able to survive by passing the plate. Already, we have congregations across the United States in the UCC that are dwindling down to 10 and 15 members in sanctuaries that hold 1,500. This particular expression of church is in a transformation. And I don't want to be on the side of the equation that's holding on until we die. I want to be part of that transformation that is bringing about a new future. But one thing I've concluded, I don't believe anyone born prior to the year 2000, and I think that's most of us here, I don't think anyone born prior to the year 2000 knows what church will need to look like in 2050. I don't think anyone born prior to 2000 knows what church is going to look like in 2050. So what is our role then? If we don't have a clue as to what the future generations are going to need, what is our role? I believe that our role is to endow the future, to give them the resources to make of this place and this church and this faith what they need to make of it in 2050, so that this expression of Christian faith will not die out. That's a heavy burden, Pilgrim. But I tell you right now, we are one of the strongest churches in the United Church of Christ. Amen. And that means it will be up to us to make sure that this expression of Christian faith, this expression which says the teachings of Jesus are our guide, and beyond that, you can believe, you can think, you can feel what you want to feel, but that's our path. That this expression will not die out because we will endow the future. So we have to, first of all, get to the future, and that's where your pledges come in. We have to continue this ministry in this present moment so that we can gather the resources to bless and endow the future. And so, as was mentioned earlier, we have traditionally received income from our Pilgrim Children's Center, but for the reasons that you've read about in the newsletter and in the bulletin, those resources are diminishing. So for the time being, we're going to have to rely on you more heavily until we can use our imagination and open our mind to new ways of financing the ministries of the church. But until then, we need your extraordinary help this year. Many of you have already mailed in your pledges or placed them in the pledge box. If you have not, there are pledge cards on the bulletin board. If you brought one with you today, during the offertory, while the ushers are going up and down the aisle, we're going to invite you to place your pledge in that box. During the offertory, if you have not filled out your pledge, you can grab one, fill it out in 2 minutes, and you can place it in that box. And then afterwards, we will bless our pledges. A new model will emerge, and it will be called Pilgrim Church. And it will continue the strong tradition of Christian faith that we have established on this corner for over 50 years. But if we're going to make it to 100, we need your help. We need you to bless the future. Let the people of God say, amen.